What investment is he talking about?
Like, what happens if you do put in the investment and you just lose a time? I don't know.
Hey, I can show you an investment.
The butcher's there. I can show you a good steak, but you want to stick your, what is he, stick your head up the butcher's ass? Or
something? Yeah, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
I know, but I don't understand it.
No, I
know there's smart people down there, but that one right there, I just heard Chris Farley.
Okay, why don't we, let's play it again and let's see.
And then we'll play Farley. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go back to back and we'll review the two tapes.
Well, let's take this a little bit farther. Let's just do the math here because you guys ask me about this all the time. So can you imagine if you lost game one and then you went to game two tired? I don't know. That investment makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
What?
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Which comment made more sense to you?
No, he's not there.
No, that's great. Good stuff, Grapples.
Not a good start.
That was a perfect tee-up,
too. That was a perfect. I hope he listened to that, though. That was actually a perfect tee-up.
Man, we can't do it again because now the audio, he's probably not going to hear the audio. Okay, so listen, Babcock, he's set in his ways. This is the philosophy. I get it. But
I want to interject here because I guarantee you that Steve Briere's involved, Freddie Anderson's involved. Like, I understand what he's saying. Without throwing shade at Columbus, he's like, we're on home ice. That's a game we need to win. That's the game that you expect to win. And I have no problem with that. You go with Freddie Anderson. Your backup has to give you points. You know what Boston's saying the other day? They paid $2.75 million for Halak. He got him a point on the road. He did his job.
See, the way I read that comment is he doesn't trust his backup even to win the first one. So he doesn't trust his backup, period.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he trusts his team to be mature enough to go out there on the second night and perform. Like, truly championship-caliber teams, those are the games they win where you go, man, that's a good team. Yeah. Back-to-back on the road, back up in the net, and they won. Yeah. And I don't think he expects that out of his team right now.
Not right now.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's up, Ray?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, like you asked me which, I could hear you guys. You said, which comment do I think made more sense? I'm like the one with sticking your head up a butcher's ass.
Such a great quote.
It's one of the great lines of all time.
Let's just hear it again for fun.
Yeah, one more time.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
What?
What? So
good. Was that David Spade that said what?
No, I think it's
the guy that's doing the interview.
It sounds like Aykroyd, but I don't think it is Aykroyd. Yeah. It's the guy, you know, the bald guy somewhere in Michigan or whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Now, okay, so here's what I think about the goaltending stuff. It's clear he doesn't think Hutchison can win tonight. His comments about, what if you're tired the second night? Well,
you are anyway.
Is tired the second night. Like, and, you know, you mentioned about, you know, I think Noodles, you just said, you know, Boston played Halak for 2.75. He got some points. And, well, yeah, because their cap's the way they are, they got a $750,000 backup.
Yep.
And so they can say, oh, we're going to, how are they going to get Freddie's games down if they don't ever want to play the other guy?
They're not. That's a simple answer. They're not.
And it's right. Like, so you can go find, like, say Hutchison loses tomorrow night, and then he loses, what are they, next week against Washington?
Montreal, isn't it?
Yes, this Saturday.
He's scheduled to play this Saturday against Montreal because it's a back-to-back.
Okay, so let's just say, okay, he goes 0-4 and... You know, that's the way it is. So now they're going to go and get who? To do what? Have another guy that Mike doesn't want to play. Like, this is, in my mind, you set the player up for the most success. And that's probably playing him once in a while on the first end of the back-to-back.
Yeah.
Damn, Freddie Anderson's one of the best goalies in the league. He can win you a game when your team is stumbling around, that it's not to expect other guys to be able to do it.
Well, and he just stole you 2 points on Saturday night against that team.
I've got to be honest. I thought the perfect scenario to play Hutchison was last week against Minnesota.
Yeah.
The worst team in the league. that Brucey was, you know, everyone, Zucker come out. Like, there was...
It was toxic.
To me, it was toxic, and they were brutal, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, and they were in the middle of brutal. Like, right. They didn't have the coming out, to Jesus meeting.
Exactly.
They were right in the middle of brutal.
Yeah, they got by Montreal yesterday, but what I'm saying, they were right in the middle of brutal. That's the one where I thought Hutchinson could have gone on the front end. And
he won't do it. That's not his move.
It's like it's his playbook that, you know, we know that he's stubborn, right? But it's like it's his playbook, and he's just not going to go away from it. And I don't. It doesn't have to happen all the time. But if you're trying to find Michael Hutchinson 22 games, so Freddie plays 60 at the most, how are you going to get to 22?
No, you're not. You're not playing 22 back to backs.
This is why even my logic may make sense against Minnesota. If he gets a win, what does that do for his confidence? Then
that's my point, Jamie. Play him, coach him up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, give him a start on home ice against a team that quote unquote is lesser than you, and you believe you should win. Because Freddie Anderson's got a contract. Freddie Anderson's going back in the net. Like, they've got to be propping up Hutchinson so that maybe he goes into a building on a back-to-back. Maybe he goes into Boston tomorrow night, and he's got a win against Minnesota, and he's feeling good about his game, and he stands on. He plays like Halak played.
How about if Freddie gets hurt?
Right.
What the hell are you going to do then?
Oof. Okay, I don't even want to think about that.
What about this? What about if you're having back-to-backs and the travel is non-existent, like the Columbus to Boston flight's an hour, right? So right. What if Freddie plays both of them? And then you give him 4 days off. Like, I don't know how much rest he gets. And, you know, I never was a backup goalie, but I got scratched on back-to-back nights. You're not very rested while you're sitting there the second night.
Yeah.
Right? Like, would you not, if the goal is to try and rest him, why wouldn't you find him blocks of time when he can have 4 or 5 days off? And that might mean that Hutchinson plays on a Tuesday and then, like a non-back-to-back, so Freddie gets a Saturday to Friday off. He can work a couple of detailed days. You goalies seem to love that with the goalie coach, right?
Yep.
Like, that to me is like you're just trying to whittle the points or whittle the games down that he's got to play, get him the most rest as possible, because you're going nowhere. Even if you think you're a good team, which they are, you're going nowhere unless Anderson's awesome.
Yeah,
another area where, you know, Babcock is not overly interested in changing things up has been pairing Matthews with Marner. And it's not just because of last year where they had such success, Marner and Tavares, why would you change it? I saw Craig make that point on Leafs Lunch, and he's right. You know, both of them had massive seasons.
Yep.
They connected. You play them one another. But the previous 2 years, they didn't play alongside each other very often either. And I was looking forward to that on Saturday night. Once we found out just before the game, you know what, they're starting together, they're actually going to play together. But I think Matthews played right into Babcock's playbook by playing as poorly as he did. I thought that's the worst game he's played all year, worst game I can remember him playing in a long time. And I could see Babcock saying, I gave you the opportunity, that's why I don't play you two together. What did you make of it?
He played 23 minutes, right?
Yeah.
He had one shot. He really wasn't a factor much at all. And I know, like, I don't know if you ever went to a coach and said, you know, hey, me and this guy play really good together, and I've done that, and you better do well. Because if you don't, he comes right back over the top on you. Just what you're talking about, Brian. Like, look at Jason Zucker. He comes out, and his last few days have been an absolute mess because of his comments about Boudreaux. And then he scores in the first period and sets up the game winner. Like, when the window opens, boy, you better jump through. And I wonder if they missed their little window there a little bit.
Wouldn't shock me.
You got to give them more than one
I would
game.
Double. Yeah, I
wouldn't
double
be shocked
down
if they
that.
Were just flying tomorrow.
I would
night.
Double
or
down
tonight.
Like, that's the thing. I'm a big believer that if you're given one chance and you stumble, you could probably have earned another one with good face somewhere. And there is an injury. This isn't you've pushed Tavares down to play with Trevor Moore. Tavares is out. You can start to be creative. I would love to see him come back tonight with Marner and Matthews again and see how it goes.
Well, okay, to that point further, I thought as bad as, you know, as tough a night as Matthews had, Nylander was a ghost.
Yeah.
That's a couple games in a row now, right?
Four in a row now, I think he doesn't have a point. And I'm like, no. And then Babcock came out with his witty beach in Sweden. I don't know that they have beaches there, or they certainly don't in November. But I don't know. He had a great start, and now he's in this little doldrum. I'd be worried that I take him away from Matthews, and all of a sudden he kind of hits the skids for 3 weeks.
Yeah, like, he does, you know, the like old, I don't like that, and I'm sour.
Yeah. You got to play the whole, you got to coach the whole roster, right? And there's probably more dynamic than us just looking at it and saying, oh yeah, I'd like Marner and Matthews together, because it does seem like it would be fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's that's the progressive nature of the NHL right now. Yeah. You know, like, we were all watching that overtime with Draisaitl and McDavid last night, and Winnipeg ends up winning in a shootout. And as you pointed out, Noodles, it wasn't the game that you'd want to point to as like a highlight reel night for them.
But how would I know I've talked about it. I would have taken another 3 minutes of that. They would have got it done.
Absolutely, they would have.
But it ends up going to the shootout. But
the point I'm making is, you know, like, they show up day one of camp, and Tippett, who's an old school guy, in the same track record as Babcock, been around for a long time, his instincts are, I got to split these two guys up. And then he gets to about the first intermission of game one, and he goes, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it in the NHL. Same thing in Colorado, same thing in Boston, same thing in Tampa. We've talked about this a million times. But that's just the trend of
we're
the teams. NHL in 2019.
Top heavy teams.
And
except the difference is, though, it's not like Marner's playing with a schlub. He's playing with John Tavares.
Right.
Right. And so, like, I would say the difference is if they take, like, they're talking about taking David Pastrnak off the top line, you know, for tomorrow. Were they going to play him with Charlie Coyle? He doesn't have a goal this year. You know, like, it's not like you're going from Tavares to Matthews. And in Colorado last year, they had to leave those big guys together because their next center was Carl Soderberg. Right? Yeah. Like, this year it's Kadri. Like, unless you've got some maneuverability, then you're probably stuck. Or at least I would want my big boys playing together. Maybe Matthews and Marner don't work together. It seems like they should. But I don't know. Maybe it doesn't work as well as we think it should.
Somebody's got to get centerman, passing winger. It should
but good. Somebody's got to get them the puck. Because, I mean, Marner's a pretty good hound dogger. He'll go get it. And I think Matthews can win a lot of loose puck battles on the stick. He doesn't use his body.
No, he never does. But he's got to be in the
move. Strong on a stick, and he likes that little sneaky under the stick, strong move where he can steal it from guys. But rarely does he push people out of the play physically when he probably could.
Never.
Now, that was what was so disappointing, I thought, about Saturday. That's the softest I've seen him play.
Third goal was bad.
That was all him.
Yeah.
That was all him.
It was a cool play by Bergeron to bat it out of the air, too.
Yeah, but CeCe laid up that little fluffer there, and Matthews kind of reached for it. And you know what they do need, now that I'm thinking about it? If you got Matthews and Marner together, you need one of those guys with a big ass on the other side.
Yeah, what was that? Do we have that comment?
The low
as well?
Center of gravity.
Yeah,
he almost fed right into our show.
I'm sorry. I'm like, it's so ridiculous. You know, like, look at him. He's got a big ass. Like,
some Leaf fan just tweeted out, retweet if you have a big ass. So I retweeted it.
All right. Here was Babcock earlier. He was asked about Timoshov and Trevor Moore and why they're effective on the forecheck, I believe, or on the cycle. And here's what he said.
They're big asses, so they weigh a lot. So they can, you laugh, but it's the truth. I mean, you can get under people, you can win retrieval races, you can own lanes, you have good balance. The other thing about it is they're not kids. Like, if you look at their age, next to their age, they've been in it for a long time. Morrissey played college in the American League. Timo was a star in the World Junior. What year was that?
15.
There you go.
15. That's not like it's 05.
It was 4 years ago.
You'd think he was Patrick Marleau.
Well, the only thing that makes me sad about it 15. Is I've got a frying pan for an ass. That means I have zero chance of winning a loose puck battle in the corner.
That's why you're a goalie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'll tell you one thing. When you're playing, you'd be able to talk about this. You go to buy pants and you got a big ass, and I do. Not a chance. You could put a fist between my belt loop and my waist. I'm like, damn, my ass is huge. It doesn't fit anything.
Just impossible to find pants.
Well, you know who had like a pretty, like, Phaneuf. Yeah. Knuff's body, like, he's like 223 or whatever.
I'm not kidding you. Since I've been 18 years old, I've had the same pant size, 38, 32. And I have fluctuated with 50 pounds, but it won't change. I'm a 38, 32.
38, 32.
How is that even possible, like biologically? A 38, 32, 18-year-old, 180 pounds.
I don't know, but that was my gene size.
Just think of the pants when you went to get them hemmed. They must have had 4 feet of extra material on
them. Yeah, for 38 waist, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a big dude. And there's at 5 foot or 6 feet. And you're like, holy smokes, man.
What was the name of the running back for Houston? Was it Earl Campbell?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he had 32-inch calves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thighs. Sorry, not calves. Thighs.
32-inch thighs.
Yeah. Oh, football players are...
just grit grinders.
Gross. Like, their lower bodies... Running backs. You look at Saquon Barkley, who returned.
Yeah.
He was doing, like, squats on the field in shorts. His calves are the size of my torso. It's crazy.
I love it, though. Like, you're right. Like, the low center of gravity. That's all I could think of when I heard that comment about Babs today. It's like, they've got big asses. Well, that's grit grinder. That is actually the definition of grit grinders, is that low center of gravity.
Now, I think there is a 0% chance that I don't use that in the game tomorrow.
You've got to. Sure. You've got to. Circle those two players.
Like hopefully somebody takes a shot that hits one of them in the ass and goes in. That would be like the grandest thing of all time. I could do a little highlight with a video and point some arrows in there. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
Be awesome.
Ray, we're going to leave you with one famous quote.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
What?
What? What? It's so incredulous. Like, just, what kind of a moron are you, and why are you in my office?
Okay, here's one question to leave on. Who thought of that line? Like, it makes sense now, but you're like, who thought of that?
I don't know. Great writer.
Yeah.
Whoever it is.
I love it. Well, and then we get the wisdoms of Babs every day, too, so... I think we need this quote to be something regular.
Yep, Babs and Tommy Boy, two kindred souls. Just two peas in a pod out there selling, what was he selling?
Brake pads.
Yeah. Brake pads and wins in the NHL.
It's awesome.
It's all one and the same. All right, buddy, we'll catch you in Boston tomorrow.
Awesome, guys. Have a good night.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.